The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's head to our interview with our former Minister of Health, Dr. Fuad Khan. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, sir, and we're glad to have you.
Can you hear properly? I'm abroad, that's why.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense. But we're hearing you now. So if you started saying something, can you repeat?
Yeah, right. What I think you should start doing is looking at the accreditation bill that I had in place that I had to take to Parliament for approval. It will allow accreditation of programs and institutions throughout Trinidad and Tobago. And it has in it systems in place where the whole sector, health sector, would have to come up to par because of this bill. And it won't be business as usual. That's one. The other thing I would like to see is the National Health Insurance Plan that I started to work on with the Health Card, the National Health Card, as the foundation towards that National Health Insurance. Mm-hmm. With those two things in mind, the minister will be able to now focus on the total aspect of the health sector and bring it into a certain line of international standards. And in doing so, everything should fall into place. But if you go into certain specific areas alone, you will find that you'll be running all over the place. But with these broad things, the health accreditation and also the National Health Insurance will take care of a lot of stuff.
So let's go a little bit into the National Insurance Bill. What does that entail?
I started by indicating that the National Health Card was the foundation for that system. The health card, which the PNM in 2016 disbanded for some reason, I don't know why, because it was working well in 2014, 2015. Initially, it started off with the pharmacies and people registered on the health card to get CDAP drugs. Mm-hmm. The next step was it was going to be the cancer drugs, and after that, the HIV drugs. So then it will be linked to people and the citizens and permanent residents of Trinidad and Tobago would have this card that they would transport with them to any health sector in basically Trinidad and Tobago, the world, with different security measures. You then could go to a hospital, put the card in, bring up your history, bring up your investigations, depends on the security level, and put in input new items such as new investigations, and each doctor office will have a computer linked to the system. And in doing so, the National Health Insurance would be able to be developed around this card. It's basically kind of like the German model.
Okay. And that would provide a cushion for those who may not be able to pay directly for healthcare.
Well, yes.
Right.
Now, in that health card, you get basic healthcare, which is universal healthcare. Anything above that would be, you could pay into it to get higher level tertiary healthcare. However, those who cannot afford will be taken up by social services, which is in our days was Ministry of the People, and I see it has come back. And they would pay for people who cannot afford to top up into secondary and tertiary levels. In doing so, the health surcharge right now is basically a joke. You can't do anything with $8 a week or whatever it is. And if you want proper health care, the secondary and tertiary level, we could start with getting a higher level of systems in place. Also, I would have liked to see a lot of the consultants being paid properly and junior and no private practice if you're being paid properly and develop papers and more teaching and systems. Those who want private practice and work in the hospitals will be visiting consultants. So in doing so, you will get somebody working in the hospital full-time, developing research and papers, and you'll have everybody there.
Now, how would this be funded? Is it that the health surcharge would have been increased? How did you see this being funded so it can assist those who are in need?
Well, if it those in need, it will be funded through the Department of Social Services. Those who can afford it and they want, as you say, internationally accepted health care and rapid service, you would have to fund into it. In Canada, you have a very high tax, and that tax is caused by the National Health Service in Canada. In the one system that I was proposing, you could choose what level of health care you desire. Mm-hmm. Government giving you basic health services for free. And then anything above that, like if you're allowed, let's say, 1 to 2 MRIs a year, 2 CT scans a year, certain amount of blood tests, anything above that, you have to be insured, and insurance will pay for it. So you pay a certain small amount into the insurance, and then you get other aspects of the system. Mm-hmm. If you get cardiac services, renal dialysis, etc., they are expensive processes. Mm-hmm. And they could bankrupt the health system. However, if you all put into your money into socials and the insurance system, you could tap it out of that. Mm-hmm. But nothing is free.
Of course, we would have to have some sort of, well, as you say, nothing is free, and we would have to have some sort of way of paying for the basic care that is already being offered for free.
No, that's happened. That's happening one time. That's
right.
The government puts that in.
Mm-hmm.
That's called universal health care. Another thing, too, as I have you on the line, a lot of problems in Trinidad and Tobago is a result of obesity and poor, of what they call the non-communicable disease explosion. So people will have to be supported and for eating better, losing weight, and at the same time making sure that their blood pressures, hyperglycemia, diabetes, etc., is under control. All those negative medical conditions are a result of poor eating habits and obesity. Once we get the obesity under control, then you will not need as much health service as you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
However, people may have to pay more into the health insurance if they are obese, as what happens in Japan. So that, you see, it's a whole new system, and people are accustomed not paying for anything, but you get a messed up service.
Mm-hmm.
If you are obese and you're not making an effort to lose your weight because of poor eating habits, etc., then you will pay more into the health sector because you are basically a bad risk. Those who are not obese and who are slim won't pay very little.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on, it will give you incentive to make sure you're healthy.
So do you suggest like a nationwide campaign on non-communicable diseases and offer those services for individuals who recognize they may be on that threshold that you just mentioned and find a way to I guess revamp their life?
Basically, and if you are not revamping your lifestyle, well, then you'll pay more for your health service.
Mm-hmm. Now, the focus on that, once we understand what the national insurance plan or the bill would entail, the next side of it is receiving that medication to better the circumstances that you may find yourself in. Many callers from time to time calling into Freedom 106.5 FM has made the complaint that medication is not entirely available at the institutions. Should the new Minister of Health be looking into how that could be rectified as well?
He should look into it, but what he has to do is to go into the Food and Drugs Division in the Ministry of Health, because the Food and Drug Division, it's a law unto themselves, and they bring in certain pharmaceuticals based on what they want to do, and I've been under the impression that they tend to be skewed toward the side of the big pharmaceutical firms. If you allow the smaller firms to register pharmaceuticals easier, you will get cheaper drugs, you'll get cheaper systems, and you'll be able to get more for less payment. Mm-hmm. Because if you, the Food and Drug Division, they are people who register the pharmaceuticals, and they take almost 2 to 3 to 4 years to register one person. And they have a lot of archaic methods to make sure that drugs that they don't want to register are not registered. But the big suppliers who they tend to favor can register quite easily. And in doing so, they maintain their prices, which is high. Mm-hmm. You need competitive market to do it. And the Food and Drug Division in this country make sure that there's very little competition because of the method of doing things.
Would that,
I tried to break it, but they were able to wear me out.
Would that have a correlation to the accreditation bill that you've been speaking about? How does that tie in with the Food and Drug Administration?
Food and Drug Administration is something different. But the accreditation bill is making sure the systems and the hospitals work in a proper international manner. Labs, do you know that in this country, labs in this country that provide results for you to do your medical treatment, they are not accredited. There's only one lab in the country is accredited ISO. Mm-hmm. The majority of them are not. And sometimes you may go to a lab thinking you're getting good results, but the results are not good. And in fact, when I did my assessment and my audit, there were only two labs in this country that were perfect. The rest of them gave skewed results. So people need to have the accreditation done so labs could become accredited, because a lot of medical treatment is based on lab results.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had a guest speaking on cancer treatments and the issue of labs and the untimely delivery of those results. And as you said, may or may not be accurate.
Correct.
Results.
Yeah, accurate.
And then the prescribed treatment of the said cancer either exacerbated the situation or furthered the direction towards individuals passing. And there was no real policing of that system.
The cancer drugs, there are too many cancer drugs because they are pushed on to the tender committees. The cancer drugs in our formulary are way more than even in Britain and Canada and the States. So we have expensive cancer drugs that do not really produce much more of a benefit than the stage of the grade one cancer drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the system needs to be completely overhauled.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know where to look. And I know Dr. Bodo, being a medical doctor and working in the system and has the experience, can pinpoint certain areas. Is there so much you could do in 5 years?
Yes.
And because you had to depend on the public servants to assist you, and they buy into you.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the facilities, as we speak about the existing systems that are there, would you suggest that a direction into looking at what facilities, equipment is there, and how much would probably be needed to upgrade these systems? Do you think that would be a good thing to do at this point?
You need to have what they call a maintenance plan when you buy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a maintenance plan, because of the volume of patients, they tend to break down. Let's take an example. You have an MRI in Mount Hope, but that MRI services all the patients that go to Mount Hope, which are about 2 million or 3 million per year, as well as those in the district, as well as people who come in and who have friends in the hospital. So the volume of patients into these investigative facilities is too much. You need to have what they call diagnostic centers, where external patients can go to these centers rather than overloading the hospital investigative mm-hmm. apparatus. Up to today, and I started putting this in place in 2013, an MRI and an MRI in Port of Spain is only now there because of the new building. I don't think it's commissioned as yet. We need to look at things in a different manner. As I always say, 5 years is not long enough because you have to get, you have to get tender, you have to get systems in place, you have to get approval, and that takes quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to take... Sorry, continue.
Go ahead. No, so the system needs to be changed innovatively rather than just working it. If the new government has to work in the old system, you messed up. You started on the wrong foot already.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I would like us to discuss the positioning, especially from CARICOM's perspective, on Cuban doctors. Is Trinidad in that vein as well? And also direction and focus on mental health. And of course, your calls and questions, Freedom 106.5 FM listeners to Dr. Fuad Khan, and probably some of your suggestions as well as to the things that our brand new Health Minister, Dr. Lakram Budo, should be paying attention to as he takes up office. We'll be right back. Welcome back, TNT, to Freedom 106.5 FM, 938 in the nation's capital. And online, we have former Health Minister, Dr. Fuad Khan, just briefly talking to us about what we should expect from our brand new Health Minister, Dr. Lakram Budo, as he takes up his term in office in the Health Ministry. So far, we talked about looking at the accreditation bill, national insurance bill, direct focus on funding and understanding national insurance. He has suggested that we focus a campaign on non-communicable diseases so that we can be aware of lifestyle and make lifestyle changes so that health, the price that you pay for your health care would directly reflect your health and your lifestyle. Coming back from the break, we wanted to touch on the topic of Cuban doctors. As you know, with the president of the United States coming into office, there was a bit of a conversation circling around Cuban doctors and the impression or the idea that human trafficking, etc., was linked to Cuban doctors coming to the various countries in the Caribbean, especially. And the support that the Caribbean has given Cuban doctors, especially from our Bajan Prime Minister Mia Mottley on the topic, some Cuban medical missions provided crucial support to several Caribbean healthcare systems, especially in times of crisis. And many government representatives have come out in support of Cuban doctors. Dr. Fuad Khan, what do you think we should be making? Should we be making a statement towards support of the Cuban doctors? What is your stance on that particular topic?
My stance on it basically is that we should be more or less not looking to support at this point in time, because we could aggravate the United States, which is our biggest trading partner, and it can cause sanctions. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, when we did it in the past, we needed specialty services. I myself went to Cuba, and I interviewed a lot of people and did it. Mm-hmm. However, seeing how it could affect us international geopolitics, it would be a wise idea to retract from that movement until we can get some sort of direction from the United States. Mm-hmm. The other thing too, Ms. Mia Mottley does not have any Cuban doctors there right now because they went back they only came for COVID. We have a lot of doctors trained in Trinidad, and basically, we're supposed to use our doctors, mm-hmm. not keep them unemployed while we hire foreigners. So that is where I'm at.
Now, the positioning of specialty cases or specialty doctors, do you think that more of emphasis should be placed on filling those positions of specialties so that we would not have the issue of looking to other countries for those doctors to come in to fill those positions? Why is it so difficult to find those specialty doctors here in TNT?
I will tell you why. The University of the West Indies, they are the ones who determine how specialists are developed. They have a small amount of specialists that go up the ranks. However, I had put forward a plan, which they rejected, that we do it like the United Kingdom, where anybody could specialize by doing a curriculum, and the University of the West Indies sets the exams and they will have basically a pass rate of about 10%. Mm-hmm. So in other words, anybody could do it. However, as it is now, if you start off in year one, you have about three people, let's say neurosurgery or whatever it is, you, or let's say urology, you go into year two, you get the same three people going up. Year three, year four, year five. So at the end of 5 years, you have three people graduating. However, the system that I have put in, I have suggested, you could have 20 or 30 people doing the course, and at the end of the year, whoever passed the exam, you get more specialists, and you could deploy them. Mm-hmm. They want to keep the market down, so they decided that that is their system. And I tried to use UTT, and Professor Diana Reinsing didn't get back to me. So basically, we have to look at training in a different module. I had the Royal College of Surgeons of London, the ECGME of the States, and different people coming to assist with the Cover Hospital as a training specialty area with a digitalization of that hospital. Of course, you know, all that fell flat.
So it seems a continuity issue between administrations. On that note, what do you think, or what programs from the past administration that should be continued moving forward with this new one?
Well, whatever programs that are in place and will, and basically will develop from that and Tobago, should all be kept. You cannot just willy-nilly, because somebody started something, throw it away. I felt very angry when they threw away the health card, but it's now 10 years and they have not even started another one. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at it, that was a good program, but because we started it, they threw it away. Because we started the Cooper Hospital, they threw it away. And that sort of victimization of programs only causes problems for the population, not the politicians.
Because at the end of the day, the public are the ones who suffer for lack of health care.
Yeah.
We have some questions coming in at 306-1065. And one person is asking, who are the companies that import our medicines? Do we use tendering as in the procurement legislation? Can you respond on that note?
I don't want to call the companies names, but I could say, yes, they use tendering. However, you could only tender drugs that are registered. If you now don't have registered pharmaceuticals, they cannot be tendered. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, when Food and Drugs decide, they're not registering certain people unfairly. Those people cannot tender. So the reasonable brand name drugs cannot enter because they're not registered. So it starts at the root where Food and Drugs need to be revamped. Mm-hmm. Because they are an archaic system that they use to make sure they don't register certain people and certain drugs. That has to change.
And finally, looking at, well, within recent times, we've been focusing on mental health, especially as it related to our young people within schools, etc. What positioning should the health ministry take with the research of mental health and also the implementation of services? Do you have any thoughts on that?
In 2011, when I said that 25 to 30% of the population suffer from mental health, people laughed. Now it has come to pass. And what I was going to do, put mental health systems throughout the country called community mental health state, and forget St. Anne's Hospital, that I had said to close it down and sell it as real estate and use the money to put mental health systems and areas throughout Trinidad and Tobago. Cuba Old Hospital, the old hospital was one place we had, and part of San Fernando, Mayaro, etc. So people can go and access mental health care all over the system, all over the country. Not just you go to St. Anne's as a stigma and say, oh God, you're going to St. Anne's, you're mad. St. Anne's has become a joke when somebody gets it on and says, oh, let's send him St. Anne's. So it has a stigma attached to it. And people are their own worst enemies. So I would say In St. Anne's, you have 80% of people who are social services. They are not mental care, mental problems. Close it down, send these people back to their families, because the families come to St. Anne's, take the patients out when it's time to get pensions and disability grants and things, and then drop them back inside St. Anne's. That has to be looked at. So you need what they call community mental care services, mental health services throughout Trinidad and Tobago without the stigma.
Well, from the updated ways in which international healthcare systems are treating mental health on a whole, do you think that some of those services and procedures should be adopted here in TNT?
Of course, yes, definitely. And one of the biggest problems you have in Trinidad and Tobago is depression. Depression is a serious problem that people don't take seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have some calls coming in. Would you like to take some questions from our listeners?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hello. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you, Tusker. A special good morning to Dr. Fulton.
Good morning.
Cuba is our sister CARICOM friend. The question doesn't arise whether we could replace Cuban doctors, whether Barbados have Cuban doctors or not. Cuba is our sister, and we cannot just simply kowtow to the obvious strength and bullying of the United States. Who next? We mustn't throw Cuba under the bus just because it's possible that we will receive repeal from the states. We know they are powerful, but we must make a stand. And I congratulate Mayor Muckley and Dr. Rowley and the rest of people who say they will give up their visas to defend Cuba. We cannot subscribe to this arbitrary. You think the concerns about USA, about human trafficking of Cuba is genuine? Look at all the other people who the USA have liaison with. Xing of China, who is probably president for life, Putin and all these kind of things. So those concerns are not really genuine. And Dr. Furkan, I'm very, very disappointed in your stance on Cuba. And I know the typical, I don't want to get political, but the typical UNC stance that they will be prepared to throw Cuba under the bus just because we may receive a bit of loss of visa and whatever sanction.
Thanks so much for your call. Now, I think we need to reiterate some of the sanctions or maybe give a clearer idea as to what can possibly happen if it is that authorities in America do see us as someone who, for want of a better term, not listening.
What I want to see is that my job is to protect my country. That is what I'm there to do. My job is to protect my people. I am not going to throw my people under the bus to help Cuba. I will never do that. If Cuba has to help Cuba, let them hold free and fair elections, right? Let them decide in Cuba to not manipulate the elections. And I'm not kowtowing to the United States. You have to understand geopolitics. You want to help Cuba and want to help the underdog and that type of thing. All well and good for you, but then go and help Maduro too, if that's what you want to do. But what I'm saying to you, the United States has a position geopolitically that could affect my people in Trinidad with sanctions, if necessary. I am going to make sure that my people don't get sanctions based on stupidness if I'm doing it. And that is how I feel. If the Cuban people want to be accepted internationally with the big people in there, decide where you want to go. But it's not my job as small spectrum of that to decide I am going to buck the United States of America, who's a heavy geopolitical area, for Cuba, which will gain me nothing, to my people.
The thing is, people can say that their medical skills are far superior to some of our own.
I went to Cuba. They are not.
That is a conversation that has been, you know, within the healthcare.
That is a market employed by Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you,
interesting.
I went to Cuba.
Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's take in another question here from a caller. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Bukau. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Fuad Khan. I remember calling on the same program when he was there in Satish and them time, and I said to him, you have people holding on the bars and all this thing in the health centers, and they're just opening from 8 to 4, and I think it should open whole day. And you know, Dr. Fuad Khan, I want to refresh his memory, that he did said that the health center should open whole day. And he did do it when he was the health minister. That's why I say he's the greatest health minister this country have ever seen. I prayed for him all the time when I see that these elderly people going by the health center there and holding on the wire and the health center not open. You are telling people to get sick from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. No, people can get sick anytime. And I admire him for doing that. My next point is, this is a question directed at Dr. Fuad Khan. We have all these consultants in all these nursing homes and all these other things, and who also works at the hospital. I personally think, with your advice, if you could recommend that these people, these doctors and consultants, be paid better and be employed 24-hour service and not in their own
okay,
private practice.
Okay, here it is. We put that in place. I put that in place when I was a minister, and nobody take it up. The doctors were happy with it. I was going to pay them a lot more money to stay in the hospital full time. And it was attacked by some senior consultants in the private sector who own nursing homes. And they went to the then Prime Minister, Kamala Prasad Bisesta, and shut down my system.
We have another question coming in for you, Dr. Khan. Good morning, Tusker and Dr. Khan. I have a question. Are doctors on duty 24 hours at the public hospitals? If so, why is the wait at the accident and emergency so long for so many persons?
Because there's something called triage. Certain people go to the hospital when their toe and their knee hurting them and their back hurting them. But somebody comes into the hospital who comes from a serious accident, somebody with appendicitis, myocardial infarct, or some other major problem. They're the ones that have to be seen first. It's called triage. People who sit down there and say they first come, first serve, want to be seen like that. No, accidents and emergency do not work on a first come, first serve basis. It comes on who's more seriously ill compared to those who are not dying and they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 systems. So if you are a number 5, you're not going to be seen for a while. Number 1, you're going to be seen right away because you will die if you're not seen right away.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is why the request for the centers, the clinical centers to be open at 24 hours would kind of less serious cases to the centers rather than coming to the accident and emergency and tying up resources.
Siparia Health Facility is one of them. We had one in Chagornas Health Facility. A lot of health facilities open 24/7, the major ones. And the other smaller health offices work until about 8, 9 in the night. So you had everything there to make sure you take the load off the accident and emergency.
All right, Dr. Fuad Khan, we have about 2 more minutes to close off this hour. Thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us. Are there any last minute pieces of advice you would like to give the new health minister?
My friend, he is my good friend, Lakram, and we both of us go together. When he was head of Southwest, I made sure I trained him alongside myself, taking him to WHO, taking him to anywhere I went, only because I suspected one day he would be taking up the reins. And I'm so proud that he has, and I'm proud that we were able to be linked together, and I'm always open to help him.
Mm-hmm. And so you can tell him, well, any advice that you need, he could give me a call, basically.
He could call me. We call each other all the time.
No problem. Well, Dr. Khan, thank you so much for joining us here at Freedom 106.5 FM, and we'll be speaking again
so
soon.
Much.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.